Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and we're going to talk about, and I did not know this, but I know now, is this is October is Bullying Awareness Month. And our topic today is three tips to stop bullying in any environment. And I am delighted to say that our leading lady today, where we're going to talk about this, is Deborah Reisdorf. And she is the executive director of BEAR, Bully Awareness Resistance Education. Wow. All right. Deborah, please say hello to all of our listeners. Oh, my gosh.
Hello. I am so excited to be with you.
Well, you know, gosh, I got to say, this is such a hot topic, and bullying in schools and even for adults. I mean, this is crazy what you hear about with people that have either experienced bullying, not just, you know, as kids, but in the work environment and the workplace. And I'm dying to know for you, I mean, how did you evolve into this? What was the reason you got into being kind of this educator and visionary about reducing bullying?
But you know what really started my passion is when in 2010, 33 students, after extended periods of bullying, killed themselves.
Oh my gosh.
Her story just grabbed my attention. And then I started thinking about things. Was I bullied with, you know, all these things? I realized that I had been suppressing a story 30 years ago when I was 16 years old, my first job, and I was sexually harassed by my boss. And there was so much there I had never told for 30 years. And when I started telling the story and I started telling about what I had gone through in middle school when I went from a private Christian school to a noisy public school, I realized I'd been suppressing all these feelings, and the suicide grabbed me. What got me going. So being a Toastmaster, and all of us should be in a Toastmaster club. Being a Toastmaster.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you there. I said, yeah. I agree with you there.
Yeah. So it just grew out of self-reflection.
You know, tell me, first of all, I'm so sorry to hear what you said your experience was. You had a boss in your work environment that sexually harassed you, that I can't even imagine the experience. And I'm curious to know, for you, it's like, what are the things that you do to help people? Or maybe there's some tips you can give about, you know, ending bullying, reducing it. It's like, I don't even know what the right words are, Deborah, because it's such a big, big elephant in the room. I mean, there's so many ways that people get bullied. We hear about them. You know, is there anywhere to start? And especially for women who are our listening audience, what would you recommend for women? Like, first of all, how do you identify that it is bullying behavior? And let's focus in on the workplace, if you don't mind.
Sure, we can start in the workplace. And since I have been an attorney for 25 years working in the workplace suing bullies, then it's I'm quite familiar with. But bullying as a definition is not illegal in California, and nor is it in most states. It's when it becomes an unlawful act, such as discrimination based on one of the protective classes. So sexual harassment, it is bullying at those lower levels, but then it becomes a violation of the law at some point. And that's why my three tips are very relevant to the workplace. So many times I've had a young woman come in and tell me about these horrendous things that happened in the workplace, and I'm like, okay, how long has this been going on? And it's been going on for years. Well, did you tell anyone about it? Well, I told my coworker. Well, see, the coworker can't do anything about it. They never told the people who could take action on it. And in the law, you've got to have made a report and given the employer opportunity to act on it. So let me give you my three tips, and then we can talk about them more.
Love it. Go for
okay,
it. Number
so
one.
Three, show confidence and kindness. Because when we're showing favorable attention to somebody or favorable behavior towards somebody, it stops them in their tracks when they're being cruel to us. And we'll talk more about that. But also, don't bully yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Let yourself feel confident. And
right.
The second tip is speak up promptly. You know, it's that list of Me Too women who either didn't speak up or they spoke up a long time later. And it's all because of that code of silence that we've got to eradicate from our workplace. But we have to speak up promptly. And that's for the target as well as for the bystander.
Hmm.
And the third tip is set your boundary, speak your boundary, and enforce your personal boundaries. And I can go into that more, but that is how you protect yourself in the workplace and you set up a framework whereby it's very clear that they've stepped over the boundary or they haven't stepped over the boundary.
You know, I love your tips, and I'm thinking, let's go back to number one, you know, the show confidence and kindness. What would be
mm-hmm.
an example or a scenario, if you don't mind, just to kind of share so our listeners can go, oh, this is when I should show confidence and kindness. What would be a scenario that you could kind of say, here's how you'd walk through that to show confidence and kindness?
Well, let me share my personal experience. Now, I told you I've been an attorney for 25 years, and as I got older and older in the industry, some of these young men would come in and just treat me with disdain and be bullies, act like they owned the place because they were male. And it was so infuriating to be able to try to counteract that, right? You have to represent
mm-hmm.
your client. You have to be in the situation. You have to engage with them or the judge sanctions you for not doing it. What do I do? And what I found out is when I would soften the tone of my voice and ask them questions or pay attention to things going on in their life, well, you weren't in court the other day, someone else was. Is everything okay? You know, they would talk to me about their kids, their family. Getting to know them and being kind was not easy, but when I did it, it totally changed the tone of the conversation, and I was much more able to accomplish the task for my client when
mm-hmm.
I chose the tone. It's like, are we a thermometer or are we a thermostat? Are we measuring the temperature in the room or are we creating the temperature in the room?
And do you feel from the asking questions and kind of almost engaging with, let's say, the bullier or the person bullying, it's like you feel that kind of diffuses the situation? Because I love that tip, because I think so many times, you know, for women specifically, if I can say, you know, and I have never been in a situation where it's like I've been bullied in the workplace, but I keep thinking, man, you know, the more we can give women tips or suggestions or things to do in terms of behavior so to try to diminish the bullying, I think that's powerful stuff. And I like that. I mean, tell me a little more about another strategy you could do with confidence and kindness. Like if that doesn't work where you engage them, what would be another tip here that goes with the be confident and show kindness?
Well, when we look at why bullies bully,
mm-hmm.
the person who wants to bully usually picks a target that's an easy target. In domestic violence situations and bullying at school, it's always they're looking for someone who's an easy target. Now, I've defined bullying as aggressive behavior intended to intimidate or mistreat a perceived weaker person. Bullying is always a power imbalance issue, or at least it's perceived as a power imbalance by the person doing the bullying. So when we, where was I going with that? When we realize that we can be confident, do eye contact, hold our chin up, hold our head up, walk with confidence, we're less likely to become a target. And that confidence in ourselves that goes a long
confidence
way to how people treat us.
Right. Right. No, and this is such a serious topic. It's like, and I want to be kind of like, you know, all lilted and everything, but this is such a serious topic. And, you know, when we talk in circles among our association, inevitably a woman will say, you know, I was bullied in this situation at work or whatnot. I'm curious, you know, I know with tip number two, where you talk about speaking up promptly, talk a little bit more in detail of that. I mean, is it to the bullier or is it to human resources, or what is your strategy for women on that tip of speak up promptly?
Okay, speak up promptly kind of intertwined with tip three, because when I say set your boundary, speak your boundary, you have to speak your boundary with the person whom you're with, and that would be the bully. So, for example, if I'm at work and we have to work on a project and there's about five of us and one of the persons decides they're going to speak very demeaningly to all the women in the group and be buddies with the guys and just be very hateful in their tone, then if I speak up and say, the tone in your voice, what you're saying is offensive, and it's inappropriate, and it's demeaning, and I am not going to work in a project if that's the conversation we're going to have around the table. You set a very clear, specific boundary. Then if they step over that boundary and you walk away, because I'm not going to be in this project, let your boss know, I set a boundary, I'm not going to be in this project because of that. The boss is hard-pressed to force you into an environment that you have specifically identified a behavior that's unacceptable behavior in any workplace scenario. But if you haven't set the boundary, then you don't know when to speak up.
Here's a question. Oh, my gosh, Deborah, I have 20,000 questions. You know, I can hear throughout the U.S., I can hear our listeners, you know, just saying, okay, you know, and I want to be respectful here in my question, because I can tell you there's been so many scenarios that I have had with women who will share, you know, privately or confidentially, just in inner circles, that, you know, they work in a male-dominated environment and they're in a situation where the kind of like, you know, guy talk goes where it goes, and it's not comfortable conversation for them. You know, I guess that's a question of, is it bullying? Because I really kind of question, would speaking up like that work, is my question, to say I'm offended by that. And I'm only trying to be respectful and just say, wow, how would that work? Because that would be a really tough thing for me to go back to somebody and say that I just don't like it. I think it's demeaning, you know, what you're saying. And I don't know. You have examples of that, you know, help explain that to me a little more.
Okay. So how you speak up is important. Now, remember I said bullying is a spectrum of behaviors. It can go from hurting someone's feelings all the way to a criminal act. And when bullying behavior is kind of ignored or placated, then it's essentially condoned by silence. And that's what happened with this Hollywood guru. Everyone was quiet, and he was allowed to do it for so many years. So there is ways to speak up. Now, that was hurtful and unnecessary as a joke, which is a movie line. Or that didn't make me feel very good. Doing simple comments, because sometimes, I mean, the law says if you pull away and you walk out of the room, those are also ways of speaking up and letting them know it's not appreciated. So physical reactions can be a manner of speaking up, so to say. But it's starting up promptly. It's easier to say something gentle than till it's happened so many times we get it. fed up with it and we want to blow up about it. So I have, you and I are probably strong women who stand up to whatever comes our way. And there are so many of us in the workplace who we deal with whatever comes. We're strong women, mm-hmm. and we're going to persevere, and we're going to get through this somehow. But when there is discrimination, harassment, bullying, that is like a drip of harassment, it starts to wear us down. We don't want to wait till we're at that point. We want to be confident enough in ourselves, know what our personal boundaries are, know what we want in our lives and what we want to be like and who we want to be with, even in a workplace, and let them know in a gentle fashion from the beginning. And if they don't take it with a gentle, hey, that's not cool, let's not tell those kind of jokes. Right. If you say nothing, it can be perceived as acceptance. Speak up promptly is for the target, though, as well as the bystanders.
And, you know, I guess this is another, you know, kind of piece, too, Deborah. It's, you know, we're talking, I think, where the assumption here is that women are being bullied by men. You know, I'm curious to know your thoughts on, I mean, women can be bulliers as well, correct? I mean, I've seen it. It's like, I'd love your thoughts on that. It's like what women are out there, and women not being supportive of other women is a crazy thing. But what have you seen with women being bulliers?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, when we evaluate a case, we look at the discrimination factor, right, whether it's a gender deal. And if it's a woman-on-woman harassment, we're thinking, wow, it can't be a gender deal because it's her own gender that she's harassing. So what we have to look at is the treatment, and I often help my clients know how to deal with it in the workplace because there's no legal remedy for it. So the way I help them is getting confidence in themselves, separating themselves from the situation, reaching out to get help to enforce their boundaries after they've set and spoken their boundaries. And even one recent client who was a man being harassed by a female boss, he kept refocusing his attitude, kept coming back to her with, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you want me to do. I'm going to do it better next time. And totally blew her away. And he's still working there 3 years later when he thought he was going to be fired the day he called me. But it was a matter
wow.
of how he related to her that changed the scenario. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But he did it. And it made a huge difference.
I can't even imagine the stories you can tell. Like for you and your services, how do most of your clients come to you? Is it that it's referral and they're in a situation where they're being bullied, or they become aware now that they're being bullied? Or what is typically the way people find you, and what are they coming to you for, you know, at what level of bullying, I guess, is the question.
Generally, people come to me, and recently I've been getting a lot more calls while they're still employed, but in the past it was always after they were let go. And the time to report, like, discrimination and unlawful harassment is a short window. If you're a federal employee, it can be as brief as 45 days. For a government entity, it's like 6 months. For the EEOC or the federal or the state discrimination, it's 1 year. So there are windows of time, and people usually get to me within those windows of time. But I do have been getting a lot more calls from people during employment because they don't want to quit their jobs because they're fearful that's the only job they can have right now, or it's what's paying their bills, so they don't want to take the risk of having to find another job.
Right.
And sometimes it's a matter of giving them a little direction to help them decide whether they're going to quit or stay. Because I can't file a lawsuit while they're still at the job, you know they'll get fired immediately, or, you know,
right.
take an action that does end their job that wasn't going to be ended. You know, it's just a catch-22 there. So I found myself doing more consulting, supporting, encouraging, and teaching than I've ever done in my last 5 years of practice. And that was perfect for helping me do what I'm doing now, is focusing on the training, the teaching, and the learning.
I'm going to read a quote by you because I love this quote by you, and this is what you've said this. We can focus on what causes bullying behavior, or we can focus on what eliminates bullying behaviors. And you prefer to focus on what eliminates bullying behaviors because we can control ourselves while we cannot control others. I love that. And just seriously, it's like it puts the ownership back on us, right? Our actions, our behaviors, that's what we can control. Can you share an example with a client that, I mean, again, and not to be trite about this or too humorous or anything, because it's a serious situation, but can you share like a client story without it being obviously who they are, and what kind of consulting you worked on with them, and how did it eliminate the bullying behavior or situation? Can you share a story with us?
Some have been successful and some not so much because
okay.
It all depends
okay.
on the circumstance.
Sure.
It's hard for me to say. There was one case, and this was a long time ago, so I may not remember all the details, but a young woman in the workplace would joke. There were some sexually charged jokes being circulated among the employees in email. And she got fired and then wanted to sue about it. But what we found out is that she had participated in sending around those jokes, and she had laughed and been kind of one of the buddies while this was going on, and they used that against her.
Mm-hmm.
So helping people to be conscientious of their own actions has been one of the biggest things. And if someone's not willing to listen to that, then it doesn't really change the scenario. So,
you know, I'm curious. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just a difficult question to answer.
Totally get it. I mean, and obviously I know the confidentiality you need to protect as well. I was just curious because, you know, again, I'm going to share this other kind of comment. You know, it's just such a big topic of what is bullying. And I had a colleague of mine quite a few years ago, a man, who shared with me that, and he's in risk management. So he does all kinds, you know, he runs actuarial tables and, you know, has information on risk for companies, not only with employees' behavior, but one fact he shared with me, and this was kind of like, I was just blown away, not in a good way, is he shared with me that there is a challenge for women to get at high-level executive positions because of the suability factor for women at that level. And I said, dude, I go, please explain to me more. I go, are you serious that there are statistics that show that women are much more, you know, have a higher propensity to sue based on hitting the executive level, and therefore that's one of the things that holds them back? And he said yes. And I'm really curious from your perspective as an attorney, it's like I was just aghast that this would be any sort of reports or statistics that would show that for women. I went, wow. Thoughts?
Well, he's not taking into consideration that bullying or that harassment generally is male on female. So
right.
There's going to be more suits by women in any arena in the workplace because the activities are more frequent in that way. However,
mm-hmm.
It is more difficult to get into places of leadership, not because of suability, I don't think. I've never heard it from that context. But there was studies done on how women are treated as they're trying out for a partnership in a law firm, for example. So if I'm strong and abrasive as a man, that's a positive attribute. But when you're strong
right.
and abrasive as a woman, that's perceived as not such a good attribute.
There's a term for it, Deborah, and we can say it on our radio show. We call that you're perceived as a bitch. And that's not good.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So we're perceived differently because characteristics of male and female are perceived differently. Also, all right, so I'm getting old and my brain goes blank.
You're doing good. You're doing good. This is interesting.
Women are more successful when they start their own businesses. And when we run our own businesses, then we get to set what are the values and what are the traditions that we want in our business. And we can set the environment being the thermometer or the thermostat. But here was another thing. Recently, in the last 2 years, there was a survey of law firms. 50% of the law firms had people saying, I'm bullied in the workplace. 50%.
Wow.
That's
50%?
Higher than any school. 50%. Or around there, 47 to 50. It was blowing out of the waters.
Yeah. That's a crazy statistic.
So that environment allows that kind of thing to happen. We have to be confident in ourselves, continue to be kind to others, self-aware. It's called emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And then make our actions modeling for the children, the employees, the coworkers. It's all something I focused on in my TEDx talk in October. There was a question that I learned to ask myself that changed how I live life. So the question is this.
And that is? Yeah, we're waiting for it.
Is saying what I'm saying let you feel good about you? Or is doing what I'm doing allow you to feel good about you? If I answer that question before I make the action, before I make the statement, I've changed how I say things. There was a gentleman who held the door open for me when I walked out of a restaurant the other day when I was processing this whole thing. Well, it was years ago, but and I tried to be witty and funny and said, thank you, you're the doorman today. And before I had ever got the words out of my mouth, but I saw his shoulders slump and his smile disappear, because my words meant something different to that older black man. I could have said, thank you for holding the door open for me. I'll hold the door tomorrow. I didn't have to say, so you're the doorman today. And while I didn't intend for it to be hurtful, it was hurtful.
Right.
So if I had thought, if saying what I'm saying let you feel good about you, I wouldn't have said what I said.
You know, we've only got a couple more minutes left. That's powerful, powerful message there, absolutely. You know, I'm really curious when someone has action that's taken against them, the bulliers, do you find that most bulliers, and then I have a second follow-up question, do you find most of the bulliers are aware of their behavior and that they're exhibiting harassment and bullying behavior, or are they surprised and just that unaware that they had no idea?
That's a very good question, because one of the questions that people ask me is, why do bullies bully? Why do they do what they do? And quite often it's because they've been in an environment where that behavior is acceptable. Whether they grew up in a home that that's acceptable, or their boss treats them that way, so they treat their subordinates that way, it's expected behavior. And in that way, yes, they need to have some different changes. And that's why I get so frustrated with the workplace managers who refuse to change the environment. And that's why I'm so excited about the restorative practices, because restorative practices in the workplace brings awareness that never existed in the workplace before.
Wow. I'm always curious too with organizations that have, you know, whatever the culture is, and then I can't even imagine, are companies surprised when they have a manager or a leader that exhibits that kind of behavior, right? Because that's awful, but usually I would imagine the organization is surprised and, you know, kind of horrified, or what do you typically find? And then do they change, you know, what they do within their workplace when it becomes aware to them, or not always?
What they typically do is
20 questions
say,
there, sorry.
Yeah. What they typically do is say, we did an investigation and we found no discrimination or harassment. Because they're looking at a standard, a level of behavior that's way higher than what's going on or what they care to acknowledge. And even if they acknowledge this was inappropriate behavior, they don't tell us when we're trying to promote change because they don't want to be liable for it.
Right.
That is in the legal context. In the restorative practices context, I'm going to be able to get admissions that lead to restorative resolution, not liability. And it's important that they do recognize and make changes that are persistent, not just temporary.
You know, we're almost out of time, Deborah, and I'm dying to know for people that want to raise their hand or reach you, because this is, you know, again, it's such a big and important topic. If people want to reach you, do you want to share how people can get in touch with you? And I would assume, you know, sadly, that there's probably, you know, some listeners of ours that are experiencing bullying or not really sure if it is bullying. How do you want to be contacted if someone would like to connect with you?
Well, the best way right now is on my Facebook, facebook.com/Bare, B-A-R-E, the bully. You know, like expose the bully, Bare the bully. So facebook.com/Bare the bully. That's our nonprofit page, and you can do communications in any way, post or private message.
Love it. Thank you. And you've been an amazing leading lady. And I want to leave on a positive note. So I'm, you know, curious to know from you, is there one other tip or suggestion that you can share with our listeners that'll kind of leave us on a positive note that this is a very serious and big subject, but one slice of advice that you might give us in addition to what you've shared already through our show?
Well, I'm always reminded of the quote by Maya Angelou. I have learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. Treating each other with respect is huge. And when we respect others, they're going to respect us. It's never easy, but it's always rewarding.
Girl, I got goosebumps on that. That just wraps everything up. You've been an amazing leading lady, Deborah. I look forward to meeting you someday. To our listeners, thank you for your loyalty, as we are here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Monday mornings at 9 a.m. We will be back for another Women Lead Radio show. And as I always like to say, and this is great on this topic, is, you know, as a professional woman, it's like we as women should be much more supportive of one another. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.